that about emptied the congregation. Today's message is pretty difficult, so I want to pray before we get started, if you'll pray with me. Our precious Father, we know that you want to speak to us, and you do that in multiple ways, and yet the way you speak to us must never, ever, on any occasion, contradict the Word of God. We're thankful for the Word. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Father, as we get into the various ways, and we can't cover them all, that you have chosen in your infinite grace and mercy to speak to your people, may we open our hearts and our minds, and may we be available to the work of the Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are a number of ways that God speaks to us. Some are more understandable than others. Others are more challenging. The first way that he speaks to us, of course, is through the Word. This is what the Scripture says. All Scripture, circle the word all. It doesn't say a few, or the OT compared to the NT. It says all Scripture is God-breathed. That is, it's inspired by God. And is used for teaching. That's what we do with the Word. We teach from it, hopefully. Hopefully you teach yourself. Hopefully you teach your children. Hopefully you teach others who may have a question about what the Bible really means in a certain area, that you are available to teach. Comes from the Greek word didasko, teaching, rebuking. Rebuking. That's an interesting word in the Greek language. The Scripture is good for rebuking. That means it points out our faults. It points out what we are doing wrong. It points out our sin. But the point of rebuking is to bring us to a position of change. If we find as we read the Word of God that we are doing some things that we shouldn't be doing, then rebuking is in order. But the point of rebuking isn't to harm us. Rebuking is to bring us back to a place of priority in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Scripture is good for teaching. It's good for rebuking. It's good for correcting. That's a little more mild word compared to rebuking. If we are a gossip, well, the Word of God corrects us. If we have some mild things that we are not supposed to be doing, the Word of God is to correct us. It's a little more mild than rebuking. And training. The Word of God is to train us in righteousness. The word righteousness simply means right living. How am I supposed to live? Am I supposed to live according to the world's standards? Or am I supposed to live according to the Scripture? Why does God give us this? There's a specific reason. So that man, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for one or two good works. Well, it doesn't seem like we believe that. Because if I ask somebody to do something, oh, I can't do that. Well, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says you've been equipped for every good work. I can't mow grass. I can't teach. I can't make hospital calls. I can't help the sick. But that's not what the scripture says. It says every good work. Emphasis on G-O-O-D. Doesn't mean bad works. It means good works. So the first line of communication that God has given us is the Word of God. The Bible is not a dead book. The Bible is alive. It's living. I sometimes think we forget that this thing is alive. Here's what the scripture says. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, that exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So that's number one. Everything else will be secondary, and anything that I mentioned this morning in the way that God speaks to us must never, ever contradict the Word of God. It must always dovetail with the Word of God. Sometimes God whispers to us through the Word. Sometimes He shouts to us through the Word. But He uses the Word to instruct us. Now, the Bible is never going to say, go out and kill your neighbor. But you know, recently in Hugoton, we had a group of people who called themselves God's Misfits. And they decided that, I read some of their philosophy. I've never read such a poor interpretation of Scripture. But they decided that it would be beneficial if they killed the two girls, because they owned the grandchildren and nobody else should have anything to do with them. That's not in the Word of God. But two young ladies were murdered, maliciously murdered, because God's misfits didn't follow the scripture. What a sad thing. We all need help raising children. Where do we find information on that? We find it in the Word of God. We find it in the last three chapters of Ephesians, and especially in Psalms and Proverbs. If we need help in improving our marriages, where do we go to find that? Well, we run to the neuropsychologist, because, of course, they have all the answers. Well, I'm sorry, we don't. But the Word of God does. So we go to Ephesians, we go to Proverbs, and we find out how to improve our relationship with one another. Anything that we have to do in this life can be found, the answer can be found in the Word of God. So I think that's tremendously important. God, number one, speaks to us through his word. Also, God speaks to us through his son, Jesus Christ. The scripture says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in his son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. When was the last time you really read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And particularly Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If you have a red letter edition and you read that, you hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're pretty tough. In fact, they're very difficult. But in the end, he tells us how to live. And so we should listen to the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. We should have listened a long time ago, but in these last days, who do we go to? How is God going to speak to us? Number one, through the word. And still, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are found in the Bible. He doesn't have them out there in the air somewhere. We can open the Bible at any time and read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's heart is in the words of his son. In these last days, he has chosen to speak to us through his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be
saved.
Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you're in Africa, whether you're in Germany, whether you're in South Africa, doesn't make any difference where you are. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ are powerful. And God has chosen to speak to us in these last days through his son, Jesus Christ. So we need to pay attention to that. Number one, the word of God. Number two, the word of God as it applies to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus compares us to sheep. We're pretty much like that. John 10:27, the sheep know who their shepherd is. That be us. They belong to him and they recognize him by the sound of his voice. And he's the one who will always lovingly lead them on the right path. Again and again. And that very same Jesus is alive today. John 13:35. By this shall all men know you are my disciples. These are the words of Jesus. If, wow, that's a big if you love one another. You know, I don't have to stand up here Sunday after Sunday and establish the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ is established? By any congregation where people will love one another. That's what the scripture says. By this shall all men know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Jesus also said, don't lay up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust doth consume and where thieves break through and steal. Store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not consume and where thieves do not break through and steal. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Pretty interesting, isn't it? So that's the second way, through the Son, as it's found in the Word of God. God spoke to us through His creation. I don't know how many times you've read this or how many times you've thought about it. For since the creation of the world, remember in the beginning, there was the Word. In the beginning, God created. For since the creation of the world, listen to what the creation tells us. That's totally without this book. God's invisible qualities. What are His invisible qualities? His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You don't need the Bible to understand God's invisible qualities. All you have to do is take a look at the creation. And what a marvelous creation it is. And that creation should speak to our hearts and tell us about His eternal power. Every tribe, without the Bible, believes in God or some kind of a God, some kind of a power beyond themselves. Where did they get that idea? From the things which are made. Now, they may be way off mark from the Scripture, but they have looked and they have come to the conclusion there's something more than I am. And so whether they are pygmies, whether they are still in limbo, they believe in some higher power. Not because they have a Bible, although that's being taken care of. The Bible is now translated into thousands of languages. But just by looking at what He has made, do we do that? We can understand His power. Why? You're without excuse. If you can't come to the conclusion that there's a God by the things which He has made, you're done. You have no excuse. So that's what the Scripture says. God speaks to us through nature and God's creation. You take a gardener like Jim back there. He plants a lot of seeds and they die. But then they produce a beautiful tomato plant or whatever. A seed has to die. So everything that we do speaks of the glory of God. Look up, not down. Because we can understand God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, and divine nature. You're without excuse. And I am too. Because that's what the Scripture says, being understood what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Oh, well, nobody told me what the Bible says. Doesn't make any difference. Look up. See what God is doing. See the great creation. And you'll find who made it. So, God spoke to us through other believers. Now, this is a tough one. I got to admit that. I have had people come to me for 61 years and a little more and say, Pastor, the Lord told me to tell you this. Oh, well, why didn't the Lord tell me? Why would He tell you? And then you come to me and tell me. Doesn't work that way. And we urge you, brethren, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Boy, that's a tough one. Be patient with everyone. Whether we choose to hear what somebody says to us, God told me to tell you this, or whether we ignore it, depends on the attitude that they have and how it fits into the Word of God. Anything that somebody comes to you and says, this is what God told me to tell you, if it doesn't fit into the Word of God, forget it. And sometimes, even if it does fit into the Word of God, forget it. Because it could be a lot of baloney. But there are occasions when God does speak to us through other believers. And we always appreciate that. But remember that anything that anybody tells you must always line up with the Word of God. It must never contradict the Scripture. So be wary here, because this goes on and on and on. Gwen and I spent some time in South Africa. A group of people came to our house one day and said, would you teach us? We don't have anybody to teach us the Word of God. So we said, yes. And we taught, and we taught, and we taught. And in the end, they said, we can't accept you because you don't speak in tongues. I said, yeah, I have some German. I took Spanish for 2 years. I know 4 words in Spanish. But that's not what they were talking about. So you want to be really careful here about what other believers have to say. Now, sometimes they're right on target. Sometimes another believer has something to say to you or to me that is very beneficial. My wife speaks to me all the time. Sometimes I think she's right on target, and sometimes I don't. But she's going to keep talking anyway. Words from another Christian have both challenged me at times and turned me off at times. I've heard God speak to me through my own children. So we want to be careful here. We want to evaluate everything that people would bring to us and say, God told me to tell you this. And I've heard plenty of that. Here's what I want you to remember. God once spoke through a donkey. Numbers 22:28. So be careful. Be careful. Bottom line is, we are his children. He wants to communicate with us, primarily through the Word, through the Son, through the creation. And he will use other believers. There's no question about that. It's just that you need to be a little careful here. If we could hear an audible voice of God, would that help us? Doesn't seem like God does that very much. I've never heard an angel's message, unless you consider yourself an angel, and most people don't. I have no taped recordings of how God sounds, or anything like that. But there are times when other believers can really help us and challenge us and move us in the right direction. So we just have to be careful. We did Nathan Moon and Cammy Richardson's wedding down in Clay Center. And we had a nice group from the church that came to that wedding, and boy, they really appreciated that. So did I. But they came home and we decided to stay overnight. And we attended a church in Clay Center. Clay Center is just a little bit bigger than Phillipsburg. Not much, just a little bit. But the church we attended was outstanding. That is, they had so many young people and children. And we wondered just in the world how they were doing that in Clay Center, Kansas. And we were impressed. We're impressed with our church, by the way. And we just need to work at reaching more young people and more children for the Lord. I don't know exactly how they've done that, but it was an really an outstanding situation. They had a song, and I'd like for the praise team to look this up and see if we can do it. It's called The Lamb and the Lion, and I'll just read a couple words to you. He's coming on the clouds, he's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? And our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lamb and the Lion. So, God speaks to us through music. We'll get to that in just a minute. God also speaks to us through circumstances. Years and years ago, Isabel Dittemore and her husband were missionaries, and they went to Tibet. And in about 6 weeks, her husband caught malaria and passed away. It just happened to be in the United States camp time. And across the country, hundreds and hundreds of young people dedicated their lives to missionary work. And many of them fulfilled that commitment. So circumstances generally have a situation that isn't too exciting. It was the death of Isabel Dittemore's husband. Isabel Dittemore came to this country, and she became a real messenger for mission work. And we praise the Lord for that. So there are circumstances in your life and my life that will lead to better things. So we just want to be careful about evaluating circumstances, because there's generally something dreadful involved in circumstances. That's what the word means. So, God speaks to us through circumstances. God speaks to us through his Spirit. I think I'm way behind. Music. Yeah. Quinn said, "My mother was so mean. She made me play the piano every day. But you know, when Gwen gets a little antsy, needs some spiritual comfort, you know what she does? She comes over here and plays the piano." Music is a universal language. And there are different calibers. Some of you like one kind of music. Some of you like another kind of music. But it's music. And it speaks to you. God also speaks to you through His Spirit. Wow. I guess maybe you'd call that God whispers. As you study the Word of God, there's a thing called a rhema. The written Word of God is logos. But as you study the Word of God, you'll come across a rhema. A rhema is a word in the Scripture or a passage in the Scripture that especially strikes you. It's called a rhema. It's God taking that word and applying it directly to you, not to somebody else, but directly to you. Wow. So that's a wonderful thing. Look for those rhemas as you study the Word. God speaks to us through prayer. How many of you have figured out that you don't know how to pray for everything? Gwen and I have stood beside a person dying with cancer. Part of the family is praying for healing. The other part is saying, take him or her. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. Amen? Amen? Boy, there are so many times you don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit does make intercession for us. I know I'm running out of time. I just want to close by saying that God speaks to each one of us uniquely. We are individuals. And God knows how to communicate with us. And He wants to communicate with us. But you got to remember that any communication outside the Word of God must dovetail with Scripture. Regardless of the way that God chooses to speak to you today, remember this vital truth. And I'm going to say it again. God will never speak to us in any way, shape, or form that does not conform with the Scripture. So be careful. Just be careful. Let me ask you a question. What is God saying to you right now? If I haven't put you to sleep, what is God saying to you right now? If you aren't sure about your relationship to the Lord, about your salvation, what is God saying to you right now? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? I know He's speaking. Are you listening? So we're going to sing our hymn of invitation. Love the Lord. That's what we need to do. Love the Lord.